through the 8th. Presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack. All one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county, from another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
Turn around.
Put your hands behind your back.
Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday morning at 10 at the same time at the same station, WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. I want to thank all our folk who've been calling, writing, and emailing in Texas and texting us. Thank you. I didn't know that we reached so far, and so many people are interested in the issues that we've been talking about. This is our regular show, and we've been doing a one-hour show, and we like for our listeners to call in. We want your take. What is your take on President Trump's first 3 weeks in office? And the phone number to call is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We'll open up the phones and let our listeners say, what's your take on President Trump's first 3 weeks in office? But before we get to that, we open up for what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey. President Trump says he's exploring options to send jail U.S. criminals to other countries. President Donald Trump said Tuesday that he was exploring whether he can move forward with El Salvador's offer to accept jailed violent American criminals in the most severe cases, even as he and Secretary of State Marco Rubio both say it raises clear legal issues. If that ain't going to be a joogie-boogie there, they send our prisoners to another country. The Ohio State Legislature expanded the state's Victim Compensation Fund to people with felony convictions. State bans on financial help for crime victims with previous criminal histories were the subject of our 2018 investigation, which appeared in the media nationwide via USA Today. As part of this lobbying for the bill, advocates cited our investigation, which found that Black crime victims and their families were disproportionately prevented from receiving monies from the state to pay for the funeral of a loved one who was murdered, for example, because the victim had a felony conviction, even a very old one on their records. Louisiana lawmakers similarly expanded eligibility for compensation to victims with previous convictions. Trump orders take aim at transgender people in prison. Few trans people receive gender-affirming housing and care in the federal prison system. This executive order would make it even harder. Among the dozens of executive orders that President Donald Trump signed on his first day in office for his second term, one targets transgender people incarcerated in the federal prison system. The order instructed the Attorney General and the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that males are not detained in women's prisons or immigration detention centers. It went on to mandate that the federal prison system shall ensure that no federal funds are expended for any medical procedure, treatment, or drugs for the purpose of conforming an inmate's appearance to that of the opposite sex. Trump ordered a 30,000 prison facility. The president in late January signed a memo directing the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security to prepare a 30,000 prison migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay, a facility in Cuba that has been used to house military prisoners, including several al-Qaeda operatives linked to the 9/11 attack. The order did not outline any specific timeline for establishing the facility, but U.S. troops arrived at the base in recent days to provide support in constructing tents near an existing migrant detention facility. Trump pushes death penalty for undocumented people involved in capital cases. The executive order urges the Justice Department to pursue the death penalty in cases involving undocumented suspects or the murder of a law enforcement order. Cities where Breonna Taylor and George Floyd were killed vowed to stay firm on police reform, with or without Trump. President Trump's memo on civil rights litigation has put consent decrees in question. During the final weeks of the Biden administration, the Department of Justice announced consent decrees for police reform with the cities of Minneapolis and Louisville. Court enforceable agreements born out of probes launched after the 2020 police killing of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. But after officials in the Trump administration issued a memo last month ordering a temporary freeze on ongoing cases being litigated by the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, the future of those agreements, which have yet to be approved in federal court, is now uncertain. And folks, that's just a snippet of what's going on in the first 18 to 19 days of President Trump's administration. And we didn't touch all of it. It impacts everybody in America one way or another, directly or indirectly. So we want to say that's been the grapevine. And folks, stay tuned for what we got locked up. Stay tuned for what we got this morning. Our subject is, what is your take on President Trump's first 3 weeks in office? Listeners, call in. You can call in at 202-588-0893. And our guest is Frank Smith, former D.C. City Councilman, Executive Director of the African American Civil War Museum. And Frank has been a four-term City Councilman in Washington, D.C. He was one of the founding members of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. He's been involved in civil rights for his whole life. And I'll see him at least once every few months. We go ahead and crack jokes and talk about the old times. Frank was subsequently elected to serve four terms on the D.C. City Council. During his tenure on the council, he has supported surplus housing and established tax incentives for new business development. In 98, Frank Smith, Dr. Smith, became chairman of the board and chief executive officer for the organization which worked to establish the African American Civil War Memorial and an accompanying museum. It is the only national memorial to the colored troops who fought in the Civil War and one of the most unique memorials in Washington, D.C. Smith has received numerous awards for his civic, community, and political leadership. And I like to say he's also a good leader because he is a good, funny guy. We come down and that guy can crack jokes, man. Good morning, Dr. Frank Smith.
Hey, how you doing, Roach? it took us a minute to get this technology to work right, but we got it now.
Okay, there you go. I know you get it. You're a PhD. You can do anything, man. Good morning, Frank. One of the things we wanted to talk about, besides what our listeners take on President Trump's first 3 weeks in office, there's a bill proposed to overturn D.C. home rule, and it's a direct attack on American democracy and states' rights. Two Republican legislatures introduced a bill in the House named after Mayor Muriel Bowser that would eliminate D.C.'s entire local government, including the D.C.'s elected mayor, city council, and an attorney general, and basically the Washington, D.C.'s government. And it was elected by 700,000 people living in the city. This would immediately cease to exist, and all administration of the district would presumably pass to members of Congress who have no understanding of the values or problems of Washington, D.C. Woo! Frank, what's your take on that?
Well, Let me just say what we say all the time: elections have consequences. And for all those people who sat this one out because they didn't think it will make any difference, now they see how much difference it's making. It's horrible, quite honestly. And I never thought I'd live long enough to see them try to turn back the clock on the District of Columbia. But these people are hell bent on trying to do it. And we've got to get behind the mayor and the city government and see if we can mount enough pressure on them, make them leave us alone. But right now, they're out to get us.
If this bill went through and he took over the home rule and rescinded it, what do you think the city would look like in terms of jobs, housing, election, our particular problems? How would we begin to attack them?
Well, first of all, I think that they talk about public safety. That's how you get black people riled up and get white people riled up too. You start talking about public safety. Everybody knows that means locking up black people. Yeah. Everybody knows that. And that's the pretext for doing it, and that is that the streets are unsafe, which is not really true. It's just a made up way for them to try to take over our government here in the city. That's really a slap in the face, to be honest with you. It's a slap in the face. If anybody is not upset about this, something's wrong with you, because what they're telling us is we pay our taxes, we already can't vote, don't have a vote in the Senate and the House. Don't have a senator, don't have a governor, don't have that. Now they're getting ready to take away the little crumbs we already got. And so it's an insult, to be honest with you. And at the tender age of 82, I never thought I'd see this thing happen, but I'm ready to get in there with whoever we can get organized, try to make this, beat this thing back.
I like what you just said. So what is it that we can do if Congress passes this bill to rescind the home rule charter that we have for Washington, D.C., the mayor, the city council, most of the city administrators are running all these various agencies, the attorney general. This would impact all them folk.
Yeah.
And with Trump talking about firing people at these different agencies, 2,000 or 10,000 fellow employees, closing down the Office of Civil Rights in the Justice Department, sending people out of the country to prisons in other countries. Man, what the hell is going on?
Well, you know, we didn't see this coming. I did not see this coming. I mean, when he was campaigning out there, he said some stuff that we thought was wild and crazy. And he's tried to implement some of it. And the courts have sort of now put a little damper on some of it. But we didn't see this one coming, because he didn't talk that much about taking over D.C. I heard one time that he had said that he was going to set up a public safety commission and take over fire and corrections and do that. But he's gone further than that. These congressmen have gone further than that. Now they put this thing into dissolve the city government altogether, and which I think is really ridiculous. And we'll have to get ourselves going here. We got to sit down with Congresswoman Norton and go member by member by member, talk to our members in the Congress and see if we can beat this thing back.
Councilmember, what I think it is, this is Nikeechi. I think it's the current administration's attempts to erase progress. I see that as a desperate response to all the great things DC has been doing, a desperate response to our rising power. And I think that they fear us because of all of the things. DC has been a model for the rest of the country in a lot of different areas. Particularly in the area of criminal legal system. Yeah. Reform. They see all these growing movements. They see us connecting the dots between all of these issues, and they want to just erase that historical erasure. And you're right, we must not allow that to happen. The youth today, they don't know about the struggles that went through the 60s. I barely know about that. Mine in the 70s and stuff like that. But, you know, we have been here before, because Frank Smith, you were, you know, one of the leading rising people struggling and fighting against all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to know that so that they can pick up the, the mantle and continue on.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I moved here in January 1968, and I had just left Mississippi, where I had helped people get registered to vote in Mississippi. Got to Washington, D.C., if I realized people in Washington couldn't vote. But I don't travel halfway across the country to get away from those rednecks down there, get up here and find out people in D.C. didn't have any kind of local leadership. So we started this Free D.C. movement, went out, registered all these people, and got petitions before the Congress, and Congressman Fauntleroy put together really a good campaign. He deserves a lot of credit. He doesn't get much credit.
Sure, man. And he risked his life for us, too.
Yeah. He deserves a lot of credit for having pulled that off. He organized and coordinated for us, and we were able to be successful. I remember going out and this is what, here's another example of what you can do. I remember going out to South Carolina with a man named McMillan.
Yes.
Congressman McMillan from South Carolina. Right. He was chairman of the House Committee. And we couldn't get him to do nothing up here, so we took buses from people down in his district, got all those black people in his district registered to vote. We voted that dude out of office in the next election. So we might have to put a little pressure on these people here, too, who are doing this, because once you do that, everybody else gets the message, and they know you can't just get away clean, scot-free. If you do this, we're going to bring some heat on
Trump ran on lowering the prices, and he gave out 65 or 75 executive orders in the first week or so. He has stopped the grants. He ordered the federal government to stop all grants for student loans.
Yeah.
He want to appoint himself the chairman of the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
He's not abiding by two court orders that the judges have ordered him to comply, and he is disregarding or ignoring the court orders. Now, what happens? Here, last year, John Roberts of the Supreme Court, they passed the law, or they ruled, that you cannot arrest or detain or lock up a sitting president while he's performing his presidential duties. So there's no checks and balances on Trump. He's doing whatever he wanted to do, and the courts are issuing orders, and he's saying, damn the orders, he's not responding. Yeah. Man, this is like a dictatorship. He's doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, it's out of control right now, but let me just say one other thing to you now. We have, in 2026, we have what is called midterm elections. We have to get smart like they did when they've been working at this for a long time. We're going to have to win some of the House seats back in 2026, and then we're going to have to take back the presidency in 28. So we just got to work this thing. Start now. Work smart. Work hard. Get everything set up and take it back. Because as long as he's in the White House, we got a real problem with this guy. We got a real problem. So we have to make sure that we get him out of there first chance we get, and people like him don't ever get back in the White House again.
You know what, man? It's amazing to see all these people. The Republicans are shutting up, they're quiet, they're not saying nothing. And they don't want to be on Trump's bad side. Anybody that he don't like or disagree with, your life is over, your career is destroyed, your family's life is placed in danger.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing, man, where folks are afraid of Donald Trump.
Well, you know, Roach, you and I have been in these streets. We know bullies, there are bullies everywhere.
There you go.
This guy is a bully, and he's got the what they call a bully pulpit in the White House right now. So he's got the bully pulpit right now, and he's going to do whatever he can to as long as he can. But he also knows that his time is limited. That's why he's doing all this stuff, right? This big flurry of things right now, because he knows his time is limited, that eventually, of course, going to bring some of this stuff. But his view is, well, you put enough stuff up on the wall, some of it is bound to stick. Mm-hmm. All of it might not stick, but some of it's going to stick. And I'm just afraid that this District of Columbia thing is going to get legs, because it's easy for them to do. They can all claim they did something to make the national capital safer, and they go back home and tell the people they did something up here, you know, which you and I know it ain't going to make no difference. It's actually going to probably make the place less safe if they get to start running around up here trying to do stuff with the National Guard and the Homeland Security and police and the Army. It's going to make the place unsafe, and it's going to make they're going to piss everybody off, and then we'll have a less safe community up here in D.C.
Can I ask a question? With the gentrification of D.C., and many more people moving in, I thought it would be more difficult for things like this to happen. In fact, I thought that was going to be the slam dunk of us finally getting D.C. statehood when it wasn't going to be just black folk. But then, so I'm just curious, what do you think about that scenario with the gentrification?
Are
white folk going to rise up against this?
Well, let me see. What these people introduced is a clever piece of legislation. I pulled it down yesterday so I could look at it. So they're talking about homeland, about safety and stuff, and they're saying that, and they named the bill the Bowser Bill.
Yes.
So they put a name in there. I've never seen that before. I never have seen that before. They put a sitting mayor's name in a piece of legislation because they're trying to rile everybody up to say she's a. And they probably, and I wrote, now let's face it, they're probably a little bit mad at her because, you know, when Black Lives Matter was popular around here, we did some stuff that they didn't like.
Yes.
So now they say, okay, we're gonna get them back for what they tried to do. But look, the mayor has to represent the District of Columbia. She's a good mayor. She represents the people really well. And I don't see what these people think they're doing. My guess is that this won't go well. The only way it's gonna go anywhere is if Trump gets behind and push it. But otherwise, I think we can beat it back in the Congress.
Okay, hold on, Frank. We're gonna take this is our fun drive season, and we got a pitch partner who is beautiful, smart, intelligent. Her name is Mayuki. Come on and pitch for us, man. Get us as much money as you can get, Mayuki.
We'll pitch together, Roach, because people love you more than they love me. I assure you the people listening appreciate the fact of the good work you do on Crossroads, the critical work that you do on Crossroads. If you've been listening to this engaging conversation, you know how vital it is to have WPFW here in the nation's capital. Please go to 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739, WPFWFM. .org, Cash App, $ WPFWFM, or text WPFWFM to 801-801, because Crossroads gives voice to those who are often overlooked, allowing returning citizens to share their challenges, their successes, and their perspectives. Now, the thing is, Roach isn't just about returning citizens. He's about Washington, D.C. The first Tuesday of every month, he broadcasts from D.C.'s own Ben's Chili Bowl. He engages with the community in that way. Today's topic isn't just about returning citizens. It is about the citizens of Washington, D.C., and how they're being treated by this administration. Please, having Dr. Frank Smith on with his expertise, his knowledge, his commitment to the struggle is critical. And having this engaged conversation with you involved is only done here at WPFW. Please support this. Please support the efforts. Support Roach Brown, Martine, and Nkechi for the work that they do. Support WPFW 202-588. 9739. Each show has got to hit its goal. We need to get $500 between now and 11 o'clock. We should get way past that because Roach and Martina Kitchy are phenomenal. They got Dr. Smith. You got the A team in here. Come on, call. Give an affirmation. Let them know how much you appreciate them. 202-588-9739.
And I just want to add to what she just said. Folks who are listening and listen every week, we need your help. We can't come to you if we don't have the funds. This is a non-commercial station, so we don't promote commercials or advertising. So we need you, the folks who are listening. And Martine and I run out every week, and we run into people all over the city, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, who listen to the show. And it blows our mind, the number of people that walk up to us and say, we like what you're doing. If you like what we're doing, please. We need to stay on the air. We've been here 17 years, folks, and we don't get paid a dime, Martine and I. And we come up and we spend our money to bring you the show to come on the air. So we need your help so you can help us. Help us. Look under the bed. Look in the shoes in the closet. Look in the hat box you got up on the shelf. Take the 1,000 or the 500 and present it on to WPFW because we need you and we need to stay on the air. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, Roach, with all that we're talking about, we must not allow despair to take root. Despair is what they want. Hope, however, is revolutionary. Hope is ensuring that WPFW FM radio survives and thrives so that we can have experts like Dr. Frank Smith to come on and share with us with his great historical information and knowledge and bringing it down to what is happening today and what we can do. We can contribute. We can keep this media. We can keep this platform for progressive and revolutionary media and organizing online. So back to you, Roach.
You know, there's a couple of things that's been on the air since Trump been in office in the last 20 days, and they keep referring to President Andrew Jackson. When he tried to, when the Trail of Tears, when he ordered all of the Cherokee Indians to be relocated from Georgia to Oklahoma in the Midwest. And the Supreme Court ruled that he couldn't do that. And President Andrew Jackson says, since you're the Supreme Court and you made this ruling, you come down and you stop them from what we're trying to do. This is similar to that kind of action back in the old days that President Trump is doing whatever he wanted to do. And he said, the Supreme Court gave him last year, they made him a king. that he can do anything. There's nobody, there's no balance of power, there's no checks. He's eliminating all that. He's running the government on executive orders, and these orders are violating the Constitution and constitutional rights, and this devastation of law. And he's froze all police reforms, even though this is a criminal justice show. There's so many issues that Trump had touched on that impacts on us. And I just want to say, people, we got to get together. We always heard that. Let's get together. We need to organize. Folks, if you don't organize now, I'm gonna make a projection, Frank. This will be the last presidential election that we will see for some time. Trump has already talked about a third term. He's been in office 20 days, and he's talking about being elected to a third term. He didn't want to step down the first time. He and I gonna step down the second time. This man is power crazy, and folk, he'd upset the whole world in 20 days. You think what happened in a few months?
Brooks, let me just say this to you. This guy is he's making everybody mad. He's trying to cut Social Security, he's trying to cut food stamps, he's trying to cut all of these programs, and if he cuts that, 80% of people on food stamps and stuff is white people, not black people. These people got in their head that we are the ones standing up there taking all of these commodities and these handouts and things like that. These are mostly white people. So now, poor white people usually don't vote. They just like poor black people. They don't vote much either. But maybe if they get them mad enough, that we can we'll throw this guy out, man. Because nobody wants look. He's threatening everybody. And he's trying to save enough money so he can give tax breaks to all these billionaires that he's got up there in the government. He has this idea that if the rich get richer, they'll start more businesses, and then we'll be able to work. We may get a job working in a restaurant somewhere or working at a cafe or something like that. And everybody knows that one and doesn't pay enough money to live on. But that's what he has in mind. I think he's gonna defeat himself. And by the time he gets to the end of this, he's gonna be so unpopular that he even if he tried to run, he couldn't get elected because people will be mad at him. And if they don't find a way by themselves, we're gonna stir them up and tell them they got to get out there with us and help fight this thing, so we can all do well together. But that's our job, and we just got to do it.
We've been here. He's been in office 20 days, and this kind of confusion worldwide has been generated. What do you think they're going to have to take, man? If they can't see this in 20 days, when he's abolishing the Civil Rights Office, shut them down, the Consumer Protection Office, Economic Development Office, he's shutting down everything. They're talking about going into the Pentagon. They're going into other agencies. Man, he's taking a sledgehammer and a chainsaw and ripping up the entire government. And I read something yesterday about the little people who voted for Trump praying that he don't hurt them. Yep. But the bottom line is, these folks, man, don't have nothing to begin with.
Yeah.
Now we got a man who's talking about bringing back the death penalty. Biden pardoned, took off 37 people off of death row in the federal system. It was 40 people on death row. There's three people now on federal death row, and Trump is talking about increasing that with the migrants. Any migrant that get arrested for killing, assault, or some violent, vicious act, he's talking about imposing the death penalty. Man, this, oh my goodness. And he got these.
Yeah, and those that Biden took off of death row, he is ordering the Federal Bureau of Prisons to put them in the worst prison conditions ever. I'm just saying, a mean, despicable person.
And it was two guys that Biden pardoned who refused to pardon the commutations. These two gentlemen say they were innocent. They was on death row, and they wanted to exhaust their administrative remedies in court, the legal remedies.
Yeah.
But the minute you get the commutation or pardon, it stops your court action. So these two men are being forced to go back to death row, or they got life, but they can't pursue their case in court, even though they feel they're innocent and they could prove they're innocent because they got this presidential commutation. These men now are stuck in prison for the rest of their life, and they cannot exercise their legal constitutional rights.
But I don't know if they're stuck the rest of their life. He has instituted the death penalty. They're going to have a date. I mean, right? Am I correct?
No, this is life without parole. The 37 people that Trump...
No, I'm talking about the three that decided to stay to fight their cases. I'm talking about those three. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway,
all right,
that's the subject.
But this is a mess, man. And
you like the blues. There's a blues song about a little red rooster. he got everything in the barnyard upset in every way. That's what Trump's doing. He gonna have the whole barnyard upset. By the time he get through, ain't gonna be nobody on his side. He gonna be looking for someplace. But the other thing about him is that it's crystal clear to me, and I hope the public sees this. He's making his whole family rich. He wants to be like all those Amazon guys and all those guys, and he wants to. The way to do that is to get all his family members involved. So he's gonna come out of this. I just don't understand low income white people. I guess they think they white. They gonna get one day. They don't get rich. They'll be up there with him and Amazon and everybody else. We don't see it that way. We know we're not going to get up there. So we got to try to make some out of this world where we are. We got to make some out of this world. You see, there ain't no black people up there, right?
Yeah.
In that little group he got around him, you know. So I think this is an awakening for America. We've never seen anything like this before. And let me just get personal.
Yeah, we have seen it before. We prevailed. We did not allow despair to take hold. We were enslaved. We were Jim Crow. We were, you know, all of these things. And to have the clock turn back to all of that is unfathomable.
Well, I agree with you. What I was trying to say is this. When I was in Mississippi and Georgia in those civil rights days, on those back roads out there, if I got picked up by a cop and, you peel your case and you get to go to the federal courts, you get out because the courts were basically upholding the law.
Gotcha.
You had to now Trump has polluted all of that now. He's got all those judges that he appointed that don't care nothing about civil rights. He's taking all the lawyers out of the Justice Department that's supposed to handle civil rights cases. Right. So he's turned that on his back. So we're going to be up against a court or the Justice Department that's going to be trying to give us those long sentences now in order for us to make this thing happen. But you know what?
Frank, I get right back with you. We got to take a station ID. This is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station on the Pacifica Network. This is Crossroads with Mertine Roach and Nikichi, and we're talking about what is your take on President Trump's first 3 weeks in office. And one of the things that I want to throw out, go ahead, Frank, you was talking. Give it back to you. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm just saying that, and Nikichi, I'm not saying it is impossible. Everything is possible. We didn't know what was going to happen to us when we walked out of the Mississippi Delta. We just had faith in God. We had faith in a lot of people around us. And, you know, because the public hid us, they fed us, they let us use their cars. We became a part of the population. They didn't know us from anybody else because we blended into the population down there because we thought we had a way out. And we're going to have to do that again. There's no question about it, because I saw the other day that he's talking about bringing South African, white South Africans into Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia. They're trying to increase the white population in those states that have a bit large black population. So, because they know we're going to flip Mississippi. We lost Mississippi by 3 points the last time. We lost Georgia by about 2-3 points. You know, we're going to flip some of those states. Mm-hmm. And when we do, we're going to change America. And that has to be our goal. When we do that, we're going to change America. So.
Okay. We'll take our first caller. You're on the air. Question or comment, please. First caller, question or comment.
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany, folks.
Boy, I wish I was over there with you, Rick. Boy, it's hell over here.
I know it's getting hot, man. I wanted to ask Frank, what is the possibility of Miss Harris, Madam Vice President Harris, running again in 2028?
Okay, well, you know, I think she would be, if she wanted to run, I'm saying if she wanted to run, she would have a leg up trying to get nominated for sure, and probably could get the nomination and be able to run again. I don't know. I've not heard anything about her intentions. I mean, she doesn't have to declare right now, but I'm everything. But I would say that she would be the odds-on favorite to get the Democratic Party nomination, because she had a nationwide campaign. She ran a beautiful campaign, raised a lot of money. She had people working everywhere, and she was a good candidate. So, you know, I think she was. I think she has some staying power.
You know, does that answer your question, Rick? Rick, does that answer? Okay, we'll take the next caller, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
You're on air.
I have 3 points to make.
Speak up, please.
Hi, I have 3 points to make. First, if you're facing a federal indictment, you should not take a plea. In fact, you should invoke your speedy trial right, because the Justice Department is so in shambles, they cannot prosecute you within the 6 months that they were required under speedy trial. So no one should be taking a plea if they're indicted on the federal charges right now. Second point, the continuing resolution that is funding the government expires in March. That will not be renewed, so the government will shut down. So people need to be prepared for that. And third, ultimately, and people keep beating around the bush, the only thing that's going to change this thing ultimately is going to be armed struggle, because these people are trying to invoke another civil war, and they're breaking every rule they can think of to bring back this white nationalist structure. And black people got to wake up, because you're not going to talk your way out of this. You're not going to court your way out of this. The only way that this is going to be resolved is through armed struggle, because that's what they're planning on.
Thank you for your comments. Go ahead. You want to respond to that, Frank, in the kitchen?
Well, I founded the African American War Memorial in Washington, D.C., dedicated to 200,000 black men who joined the Army. There comes a time when you do have to have armed struggle. Those men were part of the United States Army. They had U.S. on their lapel, bullets in their pockets, and they were part of a regular army. They had almost 3 million white counterparts in the Union Army. So we weren't out there by ourselves.
If nothing else, we must be prepared for self-defense. We must be prepared to defend ourselves. So, come back to you.
You know, you made it. That's a powerful statement. You know, Nakichi, I'm 80. I'm like with you, Frank. But man, I've never seen this kind of situation going on in the country, and I'm afraid because of the right-wing nationalists and what they done. When he gave them 175 of them people the pardons in commutation from the January 6th crew that took over the Capitol, that insurrection, and these folks came out the next day and said, I'm going to give me some more weapons. Man, that was Trump's army. We got to arm ourselves and be prepared, because I'm telling you, when Elon Musk stood on the stage and gave the Nazi salute, man, I don't have no hair, and all my hair fell out, Frank.
and Roach, I just want to be clear. What Trump did with the January 6th insurrectionists, releasing them, he did not just commute their sentences. He pardoned them, and there's a difference, because pardon means that they were immediately able to get a firearm. Whereas for people like Kimba Smith, it took years and years for her to actually finally get that pardon. So, I'm just saying, he immediately made all of them, available to have all those civil rights restored, not just taking away this, commuting their sentences, but actually pardoning them from day one. We don't realize.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Nakichi, because when you get a pardon, like you said, you've been forgiven and you're excused, you can go buy a gun. We got over a quarter of them, over 70 million people in America with criminal records. Most of them are black, and we can't get a weapon. I cannot get a weapon. I can't defend myself. If I get a weapon to defend myself as a convicted felon, I go back to jail for additional time. So how do we defend ourselves? And all these laws they're passing, you're a convicted felon, you can't do this, you can't do that. But yet Trump come out and he pardoned his people, and they come out the next day and say they're going to buy some guns the next day. It is scary. We don't know what to do. How do we defend ourselves? It was a group called the Black Nationalists or the Black Soldiers.
NFAC, no effing around coalition. The militia black folk, yeah. Anyway.
I am afraid that it's going to be armed insurrection. There's going to be stuff in the street, because they're bringing the National Guard in. They're closing down prison. They shut down 13 Inspector General offices. Inspector General was the office that made sure that agency complied with the law, equal rights, civil rights, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they just dismissed all of them. And here they got all these businessmen who are billionaires, and they ain't talking millions of billions. They're talking trillions of dollars that these folks are making. So we can take a break and go right back to our pitch partner, Mayuki Williams. Oh, you look beautiful this morning, Mayuki.
You're very kind. Merry Christmas to you, sir. 202-588-9739. Pardon me coming in on this exciting and critical discussion and these thoughts from the listeners, as well as Dr. Smith and Roach Martin and Nkechi Taifa. This is really, really what WPFW is about. This is what we provide you. And if you appreciate this, if you understand the value of it, please do as Leonora Winters did. Leonora Winters, a discerning listener who pledges on various shows, invested into Crossroads, the first one to do so. Thank you so much. We just need a couple more of you to do so. Do so, and please be as generous as you can. Please consider becoming a sustainer. Think about what you have learned from WPFW, from Crossroads, from Roach's personal experiences, and all the people that he exposes us to. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. There are people listening online here in the nation, here in the capital, here in this community, but across the nation and around the world. You know you're out there. We can see you. We can feel you. Please, this is a listener-sponsored radio station. We get no funding from any corporation. We don't have any government funding for sure, and we won't now. You know that. And we don't have any partnership with any university. You are the sole source of income for WPFW. So if this is something you've come to rely upon and you find valuable, just take 2 minutes. Think about how you put money elsewhere. Think about how important WPFW is, especially now more than ever. And I heard Underdog say yesterday, do a fast for a meal, give a lunch, give a Uber Eats to WPFW instead of and do something healthy for yourself. And I thought that was a nice way of putting it. But you can become a sustainer once a month, just fast and give WPFW that lunch or that dinner you were going to have brought to your home. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. Please support Roach, Martine, Nkechi, Dr. Frank Smith, and WPFW. Your investment will ensure this will continue. We are in jeopardy. We're going to keep hope alive, but we have to organize. We have to be activists, and we have to work together.
You know, Mayuka, thank you. And for folks who are listening, we need your help. We ain't coming to your job. We're going through some jiggy boogie. Trump got the whole country in jiggy boogie. It's upset, messed up, and we don't know what to do with it. So to stop this further jiggy boogie, we need to keep Crossroads on the air. We're bringing you the real deal, McNeil. And then we don't have no jiggy boogie. That means no bull crap. And we got to give it to you straight. And you get it straight. So in order to get it straight, you got to be straight back with us. We need your help. Call the number, make a donation and a contribution. Because you ain't going to hear this kind of shows on other things. We don't bite a tongue. We keep it straight. And as we said before, it ain't no jiggy boogie in this. We keep it real. 202-588-9739. 1-800-222-9739. WPFWFM Cash App. Cash App. $WPFW for Cash App. And you could text WPFWFM to 801-801. Volunteers are hosting the show. Roach, Martine, Dr. Smith, Nkechi, they're all volunteers. They're coming here, bringing of their talent, their mind, their passion as volunteers. And that's part of the energy that fuels the station. You are part of what makes the engine run. Your funds ensure WPFW can be here so that we can broadcast. The money goes right back to you. It increases our ability to keep the transmitter strong. Please, 202-588-9739. Wait, Martine.
Okay, well, I just would like to say that the Black Panther Party needs to revive. I'm gonna be a part of it. May not be toting a gun, but I'm definitely for the Black Panther Party, and we all got to get together. Respect, love, we ain't got to like each other. We don't have to agree, but we better agree that we need to come together.
You know, that's something what she just said. I see two white guys just fighting, disagreeing with each other, but when there's a project, they put their beef aside and they work together. We as Black people, we don't do that. We get a beef with somebody and cat on. We don't like his puppy, his goldfish, nobody in his family on the street, and you can't talk. And we all are being brutalized, abused, dehumanized, and we need to come together and unite. I don't care where you're from. Let's get together. We all are hurting, and this is only the beginning of a hurt of a long pain, Jack. This is the first 20 days, and we're hollering. What you think gonna happen at the end of the year? We'll take our next caller, please. Question or comment, you're on the air, please.
Would that be me?
Yes. Speak up, please.
I wanted to ask a question of Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, I'm like you. I'm up there a little bit in age, and I've been in D.C. since 75. I really like what they did in D.C., and what they did in what they, I mean you, and the council and the black people who had limited self-rule. And I think that one of the things that we never had, and we certainly have less now, is media coverage of what we did. And of what you did, rather. And I lived in three cities, Providence, Rhode Island, Boston, Massachusetts, and another little small town where I grew up. When we were kids, we had a lot worse than now. So I sort of disagree with you in that sense. But I also have to ask, what do you think of the media coverage outside of maybe PFW? Even PFW is not big enough to, you know, I hear on PFW where they call the people who were in Palestine, people murdered their people, but with Israel, they call it killed or something else. It just is something else. But in terms of returning citizens in Palestine, they weren't even charged with anything. They have, but the media shows four women who were returned, and when they started to say good things about their captives, they were cut off. They were not allowed to speak to the press. And I heard Trump yesterday saying the opposite, that who was the good guys and who was the bad guys in terms of how they treated their captured citizens, and both of them were nothing more than captured citizens. And I heard him talk about one invaded the Israeli land. That's their land. They didn't invade anything.
Yes, yes.
Except
for
they
centuries,
got out of
it's been their land.
So I was just wondering, what do you think you could teach people now, especially politicians, on how to handle the media outside of maybe PFW? Because they're going to, if they haven't already, put you down as somebody who's bumbling, mumbling, whatever. They used to do that even at the beginning, but D.C. was the best run city of any of the three that I lived in.
Yeah.
And so I have to give you credit for that.
Well, let me. I want to pick up on what you just said there, because they're Trump is targeting these cities all over the country. Mm-hmm. He's trying to take over Atlanta. He's going to try to talk about bringing all of these cities that they're saying they're out of control, too much crime, so they need the federal government in there. But one of the reasons why they want to take these cities over. You know, we have used these cities to help build a large black middle class. But when I first came to Washington, D.C., the city hall downtown was full of white people.
Yes,
I agree.
Black people couldn't work down there unless you worked as a DS-7 or below. The most jobs that paid real money, 10, 12, 15s, you couldn't get those jobs. So when we first, this is one of the reasons why when we first, you know, they used to complain that Barry had enlarged the government. Well, if you take over a city and everybody's in a union, you can't just fire people because they got union rights. So what do? You expand the pot and say, we'll bring some new people in, and those new people are going to be African-American because we got to catch up. And we did that all over the country. And you see that in Atlanta, you see it in other places. So these people have figured out that these city, Washington, D.C. is a about $1 trillion budget now. If Washington D.C. was a company, we'd be in the Fortune 500. All of that is under the control of the mayor and the city council. There's these people trying to get this, they're trying to take these cities back because they think we have done too much with them. We got too many jobs. We got too many houses. We done bought houses like they do. Bought houses, sent our kids to college like they do. We're building a large black middle class here, which is what we should be doing, because we ought to take care of our kids and take care of our communities. So they're trying to stop that. That's the real thing. They're trying to stop that because they don't want anybody. They want everybody to know this is a country of white men, and black people got a role in this country, but it's supposed to be way down there somewhere. It ain't supposed to be up here.
Thanks. We'll take our next caller. I think this might be our last caller. We'll take the next caller, Mike. This might be our last one. Come on, question or comment, please.
Am I on the air?
Yes. Can you speak a little louder?
Oh, yes. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes. First thing I want to say is what is happening is spiritual. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. Secondly, get your passports, but you can't run and you can't hide. The last point I want to make, when I sat here in my home and watched them people go in the Capitol, I said, all bets are off. What I did, I left my home that night. I didn't go over there. I did what the mayor said, and I got much respect for her because she did try to get the National Guard deployed to be there, I think 3,000 troops, and she was shut down. They did not allow that to happen. So I say, from my point of view, they knew what was going to happen, whoever it is, the powers to be. They wanted it to happen. They let it happen. But what I did, like them kids did in Baltimore when Freddie Gray got harmed, I went on Good Hope Road, and I waited to see if they was coming over my way. So we just need to prepare to protect ourselves. Okay. Organize with your family in any way, shape, or form, and your friends. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Right.
We got a couple of minutes. Frank, you want to give us some clothes? Wait a minute, Kankichi, you want to take it then and give it to Frank? We got a couple
of minutes. Real quick. I just want to say people are calling for a nationwide black folk boycott on February the 28th, not making purchases, not at Amazon, not at McDonald's, not at Walmart, not at Best Buy. But what folk can do is support institutions, small black businesses, media such as WPFW. That's where we need to be spending our money. So that February 28th is a nationwide economic boycott of these major corporations and giving the money to the progressive institutions. Back to you, Roach.
Okay, Frank, you want to get some closing comments, Dr. Frank Smith?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to piggyback on what the young lady just said a minute ago, and that is that we ought to pick one of these companies. I've said this for some time. Maybe we can't take them all down, but we can take down one of them.
We
can take down one of them. It ought to be a big one.
I like your
Walmart,
spirit, Frank.
It ought to be a big one. Like Walmart or Amazon. Right.
We got the powers. Keep your money in your pocket.
That's black power.
These people, I'm sick of being disrespected, and then they expect me to walk up to them with my little hard-earned money and spend it in their places.
And smile.
No. It's time for us to have, make our money talk like we talk.
There you go.
So we ought to pick one of those big companies and announce publicly. Everybody get behind it, NAACP, the Urban League, SNCC, all the community groups, preachers, teachers. We ought to take down one of these companies. I predict that we'll find one soon enough. And when we do, we're gonna work them till we close them down.
Thank you. This has been Crossroads. You've been listening to Crossroads on WPFW 89.3 FM. Our topic is, what is your take on President Trump's first 3 weeks in office and about the bill that Congress is entertaining to remove or rescind home rule? This has been Crossroads, and again, this is our funding cycle, and we need your help. Before we leave off the air, go back to the closet, go in your inside pocket of your suit that you're in more than 2 years. You got a $100 bill tucked down in there. Go to them places under the bed. Folk, we need your help to bring you these kind of shows. You get the real deal, McNeil, from this show here on PFW. And we don't put up a no jiggy boogie. So this is a no jiggy boogie show. When you call in, keep it real, and we do the same with you. So till next week, thank you for tuning in. And again, don't forget to use your debit card or money. We take money orders, even if they don't use them no more.
We'll 202-588. I'm just giving out the phone number so that people can take their $100 bill out their suit for No Jiggy Boogie. We need about four people to call a pledge of $100 or more in order for Roach to make the goal. Again, each show is assigned a specific amount of dollars it has to reach in order for the station to make its goal. We only have minutes remaining. Roach, Martine, Nikichi all deserve to be supported. Dr. Frank Smith is here, folks. You know the caliber of the work that you're getting. No Jiggy Boogie here. You're getting quality radio. You're getting great information you can use. Please, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. It is imperative that each show make its goal so that WPFW makes its overall goal. We're being very ambitious. You know, you've complained about us having too many drives. Instead of doing a three-week drive, we're only doing a two-week drive. Please step up. Please support the show that you appreciate. Please do it now. We have minutes remaining, over $400 to go. We can do this, but only with your help. Leonora got us started. We can go further, but we can't do it if you're not going to call, if you're not going to go to the website, wpfwfm.org. We do this $1 at a time, one caller at a time, one person at a time, because you appreciate what Martine and Roach do. Please call 202-588-9739.
And thank you. And thank you, Dr. Frank Smith, because Frank Smith is one of them guys. You didn't put up a Jiggy Boogie when you was on the council. You know, you didn't put up a Jiggy Boogie when you were SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. So
that's
thank
right.
You. Thank you, Nikichi. Thank you, Mayuki, Mike Nasella, and the folks that keep us on the air. This has been Crossroads with Martine and myself. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. And we don't put up with no Jiggy Boogie. See you next time.
All people in the United States have rights, regardless of immigration status. Knowing our rights is the first step to keeping us safe against the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, or other law enforcement violators of our rights as citizens and immigrants. Guide to protect your rights. 1. Identify emergency contacts and memorize their numbers. 2. Stay calm if approached by ICE or other law enforcement. Do not run, argue, resist, or fight. 3. You have the right to remain silent. 4. You have the right to speak to a lawyer and don't sign anything until you discuss it with a lawyer. 5. If at home, you have the right to refuse entry unless presented with a judicial warrant signed by a judge. An ICE warrant does not allow entry into your home. 6. You have the right to an interpreter. WPFW, defending hard-won human rights, building a more just world, one broadcast at a time.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our winter pledge drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
How to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Black is you, black is me, black is us, black is free. Black is me, black is me, black is us, black is free. Black is
for close to 50 years, WPFW has amplified the voices, told the stories, and shared the history and culture of black people throughout the diaspora. In short, we are Black History. Black is WPFW. Texting WPFWFM to 801-801 will help to protect this medium in the Black radical tradition so that we can continue to chronicle Black hope, sorrow, and resistance.
Black is you, Black is me, Black is us, Black is free. Black is me.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle.